Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for an opportunity to share your wonderful message today, a message of resurrection to these your people. And help me to do it, Lord, with clear simplicity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm just going to talk about the resurrection. What a wonderful subject to talk about today. A few months ago, we celebrated Christmas. And I think it's very hard to separate Christmas from the resurrection of Christ. Because Jesus said that for this purpose came I into the world. I came to die. As the shepherds looked at the babe in the manger, they saw a Savior who would redeem all mankind. When the wise men beheld him, they saw a king who would conquer death. And when the prophets looked down to his time, they saw one who would open prison doors, unlock chains, and set the captives free. They all had their vision of who Jesus was and why he came. Our Lord was born in a world of darkness and unbelief. His people were living under the terrifying grip of the Roman Empire. The Pharisees believed that salvation was achievable through works. And the Sadducees didn't even believe in the resurrection. In Matthew 4:16, it reads, "The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." And I believe that this light was eternal light. Can you imagine the Creator who made the sun? You ever try to look at the sun in its brightness? Almost absolutely impossible, to hard to see, to look at the sun. It's that bright. And yet, God made the sun. Imagine how bright he must be. He's brighter than the sun. And the Scripture gives us a glimpse of how bright he is. Scripture says that when the Antichrist is at his very peak, our Lord from heaven will come and destroy him by the brightness of his coming. He'll be destroyed just by the brightness of his coming. When Saul of Tarsus saw Jesus, he saw a blinding light. As many times as I shared that passage, I've spoken with people who do welding. I've never done any welding, but I've been around those who have. And they say if you get a glance of a welding, it's very similar to what Paul experienced. He had scales on his eyes. His scales came off, and you get the same type of scales when you get a welding flash. I mean, any of you guys weld? Do you ever get a welding flash? See, I don't know anything about that, but they tell me it's very similar. And it's a terrible pain. It's a terrible pain and caused just simply by a welding flash. Well, with Jesus, it's more than just a flash. It's his brightness of his coming. We can't comprehend that brightness. But we know that when Moses went up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, when he came down, he had a shroud over his face because the people couldn't look upon him. His face shone like that of an angel. His face was so bright. Eternal light. Hosea the prophet, we read the scripture, prophesied of the coming Messiah. When Jesus came, he fulfilled this prophecy. Remember the conversation he had with Martha. You know what Martha said? Martha chided Jesus a bit. You know what she said? "Lord, if you'd have just been here, my brother wouldn't have died." See, she knew that Jesus had great power. He performed many miracles. And she said, "If you'd have just been here, he wouldn't have died." And Jesus said, "Martha, he'll rise again Oh, yes, she said, I know. He'll rise at the last resurrection. I know that. Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection. If you believe in me, you'll also resurrect as well. I am the resurrection. Martha didn't comprehend that. I am the resurrection. When Jesus speaks the word, all those in the graves will come out of the graves just at the mention of their name. I am the resurrection, he said, and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But Roger, we'll die. Yes, we'll die, but we'll live again. And that's what he meant. We'll live again. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about this resurrection. Jesus in another place said this, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should not lose nothing, but should raise up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What Jesus was saying, do you know why I am here? Do you know why I was born into poverty? Why the shepherds adored me? Why the wise men brought gifts? Why the angels sang that night? And if so, you would have everlasting life. It points directly to the resurrection. Graves opening, the dead restored to life. It's the ultimate fulfillment of God's everlasting covenant. The resurrection is an emphasis throughout our entire New Testament. At Pentecost, Peter said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified it and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it wasn't possible that he should be holding of it. In Acts chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. Everywhere that the Apostle Paul and the apostles traveled, their preachings went beyond the incarnation of the Lord and his miracles, but proceeded directly to the resurrection. They came to Thessalonica, where there was there a synagogue of the Jews. And the Apostle Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned there with them of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ, Acts 17, 1 and 3. At Mars Hill in Athens, the Apostle Paul preached, he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead, Acts 17 and 31. He also preached in the resurrection when he appeared before the Roman governor Felix and before King Agrippa. Without the resurrection, Paul said, our preaching of Christ's gospel is in vain. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. 1 Corinthians 15 and 17. You see, Paul is telling us, if this is not all about the resurrection, you can forget all about the message. Why preach the birth of Christ? Why be holy? Why pursue spiritual matters even at all? Without the resurrection, we remain dead in our sins, and everything we do is in vain. It was for this reason and purpose that Jesus came for you and for me. He was born to live and die and raise from the dead, to raise us to eternal life with him. He came to bring us home to himself for all eternity. And this was the message of the New Testament church. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. 1 Corinthians 15:20. As surely as the Spirit raised Christ from the dead, he will also raise us up as well, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. 2 Corinthians 4:14. And so when I think back to that manger scene in Bethlehem, I see a bridge. And Christ is that bridge between earth and heaven. He crossed over the abyss of death that separates this life and life eternal. And one day we're going to cross that bridge. And it will take place in a twinkling of an eye, in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:52. There's many Christians have wondered, who will I see first when I'm raised to eternity? I believe that the first one will be Jesus. He is the love. He is our Savior. He is our healer. He is our King. The Bible says there's no marriage in heaven, but there's a love because he is love. And all will be one in Christ's body, and we'll recognize each other with a spiritual intuition. The scripture says in that moment, we will know even as we are known. Maybe there's some of you didn't grow up with a loving father and mother. Maybe no one in your home knew Jesus. And you wonder, who will be there waiting for you? But I can tell you this, that you have another family. And it's called the family of God. I'm convinced that there's no one in Christ's body who wasn't prayed for by someone, by an older man or a woman, a grandma, a grandpa, a pastor, or a distant relative. You'll be recognized and you'll be embraced with the family love that God has prepared for you in eternity. I believe God has made worlds as yet unconquered. I'm always fascinated by space. Those planets out there in the universe. Do you know there's so many planets it's even much bigger than Earth? I forget how many Earths you could put in the planet Jupiter. Do you ever wonder why all those planets exist? Oh, they're out there, and they do exist. A God who's made everything in this planet so wonderful and so beautiful and so perfect. God's got lots of plans. Because I can tell you that those planets aren't just there because he had nothing else to do. Those planets aren't there because God was bored and decided to put some more out there. He has a reason for each one that's suspended in space. I believe we'll be very busy. Astronomers have discovered galaxies beyond what we can even imagine. It's nothing for our Lord and creator of this vast universe to resurrect his creatures from the dead. Paul Harvey tells, how many of you remember Paul Harvey? Yeah, okay. Paul Harvey tells a story of an atheist scientist who traveled to college campuses for decades to lecture on how God couldn't possibly exist. Years later, this man became a Christian, and whenever he was asked why he converted, he answered just with one simple word, DNA. Inside every human being is this amazing discovery called DNA. It is a unique identifier. It is so accurate that someone can be proven guilty of a crime if his DNA is found at the scene. DNA is a very complex, yet it can be taken from something as simple as a strand of your what? Hair. One strand of hair. You can't hardly see it, but your DNA is on that strand of hair. And everybody has a different DNA. Scientists have discovered in it a genetic code. It has billions of bits of information all linked together that are unique to each individual in here. Who created this incredible phenomenon that boggles the mind? Who has known this unique genetic code of every human being since Adam and Eve? Only God. He not only numbers the hairs of your head, but he has impressed this unique DNA into every strand of hair. And that is what humbled this atheist scientist. The magnificence of a creator and his ever-impressive creation. Ooh. God knows the DNA of everyone, every person who has ever lived. He knows how to reconstruct it when he raises us up on the last day. It should certainly put to rest all of the strange doctrines that have arisen over the years about the resurrection. Some say there can't be a bodily resurrection for people who have been cremated or died, gory deaths. They can't conceive of how God would do this. I got news for you. It's called what? DNA. In Genesis, it says, from dust to dust and ashes to ashes in that cremation? Well, I never thought of that. It's called DNA. Whew. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. We know that the bodies that God brings out of the grave will be changed bodies. The Bible makes it clear that we will be resurrected bodily. Everything damaged, everything severed, anything obliterated will be restored in the twinkling of an eye. The crooked will be made straight. The blind will see. Those infirm from birth or killed in wars will be whole. Their DNA will be perfected by their Creator. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. There's a new world coming. A world without sin or poverty or disease. It's why he came to bring us to the new world he's created. It's beyond anything that we've ever comprehended. Your king is coming to get you. Resurrection life is already available in this life. We've been promised as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even we also should walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4. So in this Easter season, let's keep resurrection in mind. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14 and verse 18. I'm looking forward to seeing my own family members as well who've gone on before me. What joy it will be! Resurrection! It's why he came. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15. Woo, glory, hallelujah. Whew, praise his name. Scotty, come. Anointing service. What a wonderful morning to have come and be gathered together with you, his saints. Praise his wonderful name. Thank you, Lord, for this message today. Heavenly Father, we're just thankful. We're blessed today to be in your presence. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your wonderful healing power. And Lord, we ask you now to just minister to your people as Scotty comes to sing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.